for all eternity. I wonder, are you going there, friend? Are you ready to meet him? It's my desire this evening to bring you a very simple message in the gospel. I want to keep it as simple as I possibly can, that no one will misunderstand anything that we're saying. And for that reason, I only want to read one verse from the Word of God. It's found in Romans chapter 1, and it's verse number 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, and it reads like this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And out of that simple verse that we could memorize and learn and say off by heart very quickly, out of that verse I just want to take one word this evening. Again, to keep the message completely simple, I just want to take one word out of that verse. And it's the word salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I want to look for a little time this evening at the close of our meeting at this wonderful word salvation. I want us to think about it under four very simple headings and trust that as we look at it this evening, that it will bring out something of the wonder and the glory and the beauty of God's so great salvation. The first thing I want us to think about with regard to salvation is the purpose for salvation. Why did God provide salvation? Why has there to be such a thing as God's salvation? Well, if you were to turn over a page from where you are in your Bible at the moment, to Romans chapter 3, and begin to read at verse number 9, you'll find there the mess that God sees the human race to be in. Verse 10, for example, says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11 says, there is none that seeks after God. Verse 12, there is none that does good. No, not one. Verses 13 and 14 speak of the vileness of the human tongue and of the cesspool that the human mouth can be. Verse 15 says, human nature is capable of murder. Verse 16 says, they are prone to causing destruction and making life miserable for their fellow man. Verse 17 says, they do not know nor follow the ways of peace. Verse 18, they have no fear, no reverence, no love for God in all of their ways. Verses 19 and 20 show us that the law condemns each and every member of the human race as sinners. And those verses also proclaim loud and clear that the law cannot deal with or take away the sin of the world, which is piling up day by day against this old world. And the catalogue, of course, finishes with that awful verse, verse 23, where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is how God sees the human race. This is how God sees mankind. This, my dear friend, is how God sees you. And this, in a word, is the purpose for salvation being provided. It has been provided because man is a sinner, and as such, he is separated from God. That's a terrible state to be in. Jessica was singing about that lovely day when we'll meet the Lord, when we'll be with him, when we'll be like him. If we don't know God, we won't be there. And so it's important this evening that we look at this wonderful message of salvation. Where did this sin and separation from God originate from? Romans 5 and verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That is the source or the entrance of sin into this world. Way back in the book of Genesis, we read about Adam and Eve. The first pair that God created, he placed them in that beautiful Garden of Eden. And he left them there. They were enjoying sweet fellowship, sweet communion with God on a daily basis. But then there came that awful day when Adam disobeyed God's instructions. When Adam sinned against God, he sinned there for the very first time. That was where sin entered into the world. That verse in Romans that we just quoted reminds us, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That one act of disobedience, that one of an act of sin against God, plunged the whole world into sin. And we all became sinners, guilty sinners, before God. And that beautiful natural fellowship and communion that Adam and Eve had with God was broken on that occasion. And they were cast out of the presence of God. Because of sin, death came. And death now and sin are the inheritance of every human being who has ever been born into this world. This is why salvation had to be provided, because of man's sin. I want us to think secondly for a moment or two about the provision of salvation. 1 Timothy 1:15 quotes, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief." This lovely verse teaches us that salvation has been provided by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And maybe you're thinking in your mind, well, now I read a story one time in the Bible and it told me about the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a little baby in Bethlehem. Little baby in the manger. Is that not the story about Jesus? Of course it is. But this verse that we're looking at here now not only tells us about his coming into the world, but tells us the reason why he came. Came into the world to save sinners. It was that he might become the Savior of the world. But before he could become the Savior of the world, he had to pay the supreme price by giving himself as a sacrifice to God. He had to pay the price that man should have paid. He had to lay down his life as a sacrifice for our sin. Nothing less than the sacrifice of himself and the shedding of his precious blood could ever have met and satisfied the holy demands of Almighty God. God is absolute perfect holiness, and as such, he cannot and he will not have sin in his presence. He could never allow mankind with all his sin to enter into his presence for all eternity. So with sin in our lives, we will never be at that glorious day that we were thinking about, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come for us. With sin in our lives, we are separated from God. And so it demanded that there had to be a sacrifice made. It demanded that the Son of God, he who is co-equal, co-eternal, and equally holy with his Father, it demanded that he should come and give himself as the ultimate offering for sin. A perfect sacrifice had to be made. And he was the only one ever born who was sinless, who was perfect, who was without sin, and therefore was the only one suitable to make that tremendous sacrifice. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission There is no cleansing. There's no wiping away of sin. Salvation has been provided for every sinner through the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. There is no other way, my dear friend, this evening, that sins can be forgiven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ was clean enough and pure enough to be accepted by God for payment for the penalty of sin. Way back in the Old Testament, you'll read often of animal blood being used in sacrifice. Time and time again, we have sacrifices made to God. But those were only a picture of the real sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that would take place at Calvary. That is why they had to be repeated over and over and over again, continually, year after year, the same sacrifices. But we're told in the Word of God that even though they were repeated regularly and often, they could never take away sin. They were accepted by God looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ would die on Calvary, when he would pay the supreme price by giving his life, by shedding his blood. Only on that ground could God accept the sacrifice of man way back there in the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did away with all of those sacrifices. Hebrews 10 and 12 reminds us, but this man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. Their sacrifices needed to be repeated over and over continually to merit favor with God. But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ never will be, nor never needs to be, repeated. One sacrifice for sin forever. His work was sufficient. His work was complete. And his work met and satisfied all the demands of a holy and righteous God. See, God has said in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is set in stone as far as God's concerned. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Then the Lord Jesus Christ came. He offered himself to the Father in the place of the sinner. And in taking our punishment for us, that sentence can now be lifted from us. And we can be set free from that sentence. We can be set free from that eternal death that God has planned for the sinner who rejects him. Thirdly, this evening, I want to look at the problem with salvation. Maybe you say, what could possibly be a problem with God's so great salvation? The problem is not so much with the salvation. The problem lies more with how we deal with the offer of salvation. We've already seen this evening that God has made universal provision in his great gift of salvation. You can go out onto the streets in this town, in any town across the world, and you can look into the face of every person you meet, and you can tell them that God loves them, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for them, and that his sacrifice on Calvary is sufficient for them to take them to God's eternal home. God's salvation is universal. It's complete. Isn't that what we read in John 3 and 16? That whosoever believeth in him will have everlasting life. Salvation is for all. It's for everyone. My dear friend, this evening in this meeting, salvation is for you. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided salvation for you. But the great problem with salvation is highlighted in that same verse, John 3 and 16. Because it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. See, that brings in another aspect of truth. This idea of perishing. There is an alternative this evening to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an alternative this evening to everlasting life. The alternative to believing is to reject or not believe. The alternative to everlasting life is everlasting punishment. It is to perish for all eternity. What do you have to do this evening? I want you to think seriously about this. What do you have to do this evening to miss God's salvation? What do you have to do this evening to end up in a lost eternity? And can I answer you with one word? Nothing. Just continue as you are this evening. Just go on in your sin. Just totally ignore the voice of God when He speaks to you. Ignore all the gospel messages that He sends to you. Disregard the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Disbelieve that His death was for you personally. And that through His death, you can be forgiven and saved and made ready for God's eternal home. You do absolutely nothing. Just drift on as you are. Just close your ears to God speaking to you every time He comes to you. And as sure as you're sitting on that seat this evening, you'll finish in a lost eternity. This then is the big problem with salvation. You see, if we have salvation, thank God many of us in this building this evening have. But with salvation, we will enjoy all the glory and the joy of being in the presence of God, not only through this life, but for all eternity. But without salvation, we will be cast out of the presence of God forever and forever. And we will be sent to that awful place that is spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. That awful place called the lake of fire. In those verses we see the horrible eternal destiny of those who refused all their lifetime to believe the gospel. Those who rejected God's so great free salvation. They will be eternally tormented in the lake of fire forever and forever. The purpose for salvation, the provision of salvation. We've looked briefly at the problem with salvation. But finally, just in the closing moments of our meeting, I want us to think about the procurement of salvation. How do we receive this so great salvation personally? How is it possible for a poor sinner who is facing eternal punishment from God for their sin? How is it possible for him to be changed and made ready for God's eternal home? We were to take the time this evening and to turn to Acts chapter 16. We read there the story of the Philippian jailer. He was a hard and cruel and heartless sinner. Threw Paul and Silas into the stocks and he just left them there. Backs bleeding. They were in an awful state. He didn't care. He went home and went to bed. Couldn't have cared less. But God spoke to him. And at verse number 30, we find that God has broken him. God has scared the life out of him. And in verse number 30, we find him coming, trembling before God's servants. And the cry from his heart is, "What must I do to be saved?" Wonder what there'll be one this evening in our meeting. And that will be the cry of your heart. What do I need to do? What have I to do? How can I be saved? The simple answer that the servants of God gave on that occasion was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And that message hasn't changed. That message can't change because there is only one way that we can be right with God. There is only one way that we can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, this is where a problem comes in for many people. They say, but how do we believe? What does it mean to believe? Surely we all believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that he came as the baby to Bethlehem, that he lived a beautiful, sinless life. Surely we believe that he went to the cross and he died, that on the third day he rose again from the dead. We believe that he ascended back to his Father in heaven. We probably even believe that one day he's going to come back again. So where's the problem? Why is it that we can't truly say this evening in our hearts that we have God's so great salvation? What's wrong that you are not sure this evening, even though you believe all this about the Lord Jesus Christ? See, the problem with that is, what we're looking at there is, you're only believing about the Lord Jesus. It's all head knowledge. It's all general knowledge. It's all the things that we've read about him. It's all the things that we've been taught about him. These are the things that is generally believed about him. But to make sure of salvation this evening, we need to believe in him. Whosoever believeth in him is what the Word of God says. We need to see ourselves personally before him as a sinner. And if you're not willing this evening to come to the point where you're going to acknowledge and admit before God that you're a sinner, then nothing's going to happen. You've got to come to that point where you realize that I'm a guilty sinner, that I deserve all the punishment that God has meted out for sinners. I deserve that to be poured out on me. I deserve to be thrown out of the presence of God forever. We first of all need to see ourselves and admit that we're sinners. We need to understand our hopeless condition, that we are going to be lost for all eternity. That's the point we've got to come to. See, that's where this man came to, the Philippian jailer. He realized he was in deep trouble. And that's why he came in crying, what must I do to be saved? Not only do we need to admit and see the condition that we're in ourselves, but then we need to see the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as not just for the world. See, it's all right to believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners of the world. But we've got to see this as personal. He came for me. When Paul was writing to the Galatians at chapter 2 and verse 20, he used this lovely phrase, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the point you've got to come to, dear sinner friend, this evening. You've got to acknowledge that that salvation was for you. True, it's for everybody here this evening. But you've got to come to the point where you acknowledge it as personal. This is how we get God's so great salvation, by acknowledging that we are hopeless, but we accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided the way for us, the way through which we can come individually and be set free and made ready for heaven. The beautiful verse in the Word of God that God used on the occasion of my salvation, that lovely verse in Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That simply means, dear friend, this evening, that when I give up all my ideas about getting to heaven any other way, and just simply called out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, just called out and acknowledged to him that I was a guilty sinner, he did the work. He answered my call. He met my need. I was saved. And I was ready for heaven. That didn't take all night. That was just in a matter of moments. This is what it's all about, dear sinner friend, the same. You need God's salvation.
Can I put it stronger than that? You desperately need God's salvation this evening. Not one of us knows. The Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We don't even know what another hour holds. Many a man has got out of his bed hale and hearty in the morning, and before night, he's been in eternity. I remember someone giving me a little card one time. I have it in some of my Bibles at home. And there's a picture on it of a funeral hearse. And it says below it, you may tie your boots in the morning, but the undertaker may untie them before evening. That's something that I've always kept before me. And I find that a very sobering thought. Helps you to live with a wee bit of common gumption, a wee bit of sense, when you think of life like that. Dear sinner friend this evening, you need to think of life like that. I know if that happened with me, I would be home with the Lord. What about you? Death were to overtake you suddenly. Is it well with your soul? You desperately need salvation this evening. Jesus Christ is the provider of salvation. We've seen that as we've gone through our little message. And he's offering salvation to you this evening. Not with a bill attached to it. You don't get an invoice with it that you have to pay. He's offering you salvation this evening as a free gift. You don't have to work for salvation. You can't pay for salvation. You simply ask for this wonderful free gift, and it will be given to you. It truly will. I know that for a fact. I proved that as a boy of 13 years of age. And there are millions in this world tonight. There are many in this meeting tonight who have proved that great truth also. But when we call, he hears and he answers and he saves. How about it, friend? Where do you stand tonight? Are you ready, with many of us here this evening, to prove the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious ability to be your Savior? Are you willing to prove the glorious truth that he's able to cleanse you from your sin? And right here and now, as you sit in this meeting, that he's able to make you ready for heaven. Has that truth dawned upon your heart yet? Some of you maybe have heard the gospel for many, many years. Time after time you have turned your back on the Lord. Time after time you have gone out without him. Every time you do that, you're adding up more and more judgment on your head. Every time you reject him, you're coming nearer and nearer to a lost eternity. But oh, this evening, if you see your condition, if you're willing to acknowledge your condition, and you're willing to cry out to the Lord this evening for salvation, just now where you're sitting, the person next to you doesn't even need to know that you're doing it. Just where you're sitting, make the most important call of your entire life. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, save me. I need your salvation. Come into my heart now, Lord. Come in and save me. And I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God this evening, dear friend, that if you do that, you'll make sure of a home in heaven. You need to do it soon. You need to do it now, in fact. The Word of God says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You need to forget about all your other ideas about getting to heaven. Acts 4:12 reminds us, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I don't care what name you put in there. No other name will work. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the provider of salvation. Remember that solemn question that's asked away over in Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I trust this evening, dear friend, that I've made it clear and plain to you already that there is no escape. If we neglect God's salvation, we're lost. Neglect and reject, we'll be lost. Accept and receive Him just now, and you'll be saved and safe for all eternity. The choice is yours. You have got to make a choice. Wasn't it last Sunday evening that the pastor emphasized that no matter what way you go out of this meeting, you're making a choice. You either choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll be the longing of my heart that you would do that, or you choose in your heart to reject Him, to turn your back on Him, just like the mob that gathered around Him that day at Calvary. You'll just be the same as them. You'll spit in His face again. You say, I don't want you. One way or other, you're making a choice just now. I trust that you're choosing Christ, that you're being wise, that you'll take my wonderful Savior home with you. I could recommend Him to anybody. He's the dearest friend that I've ever known. He's with us moment by moment and day by day. If He wasn't with me now, I wouldn't be standing here. But thank God for His wonderful presence day by day, for His gracious provision, for all that He does for us. Ah, dear friend, this evening, if you're without Him, you really do not know what you're missing. You're missing the very best of life. I don't care what money you have. I don't care what possessions you have. If you haven't Christ, you're a pauper. You have nothing. Come to the Savior this evening. Take Him home with you. Let's sing as our closing hymn. Number 51.